This is The Takeaway. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. As thousands of people around the world continue to get sick from the coronavirus, many are also recovering. According to data from Johns Hopkins, more than 200,000 people worldwide have recovered from the virus. That number will keep climbing, since experts have said around 80% of those who contract the disease go on to recover. And as we learn more about asymptomatic carriers, that number could end up being even higher. But there are still a lot of unknowns about recovery from the disease, including how long someone can continue to spread the virus once they're feeling better, and whether people are immune once they've recovered, and for how long. So we're going to talk about it with Joel Achenbach, who's a science writer for The Washington Post, who has been writing about the coronavirus since January, and Kamal Khanna, an immunologist and associate professor in the Department of Microbiology at the NYU Langone Medical School. Thank you so much to both of you for being here.
So thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Joel, you wrote about people who've recovered from COVID-19. How much data do we have about who they are and, I guess, how large a population we're talking about here?
Well, this is all new, obviously. And so every story we do has these caveats that this is preliminary. But, you know, most people do recover over the course of a couple of weeks. It's a pretty brutal couple of weeks they endure, but then they're better. And what we found when we talked to people is just a lot of uncertainty about exactly where they stand with the virus. So if you go to the CDC website, what they say is if you hadn't had a fever for 3 days without using fever-reducing medication, and if it's been at least 7 days since the start of your symptoms, and you had improvement in your respiratory symptoms, that you don't have to self-isolate anymore, i.e. you probably are not still infectious. But a lot of people we talk to, you know, they worry about it. They worry about going back out there. There's some stigma involved of having it. And then there's the question that you brought up, which is, are they immune from getting the virus a second time? And we don't know, but probably they are. That would be the default assumption, but that's not established scientifically.
Kamal, what do we know about how the immune system factors into all of this right now, given that it is still so early?
Indeed, as Joel mentioned, it is all very new. The biggest thing that we have to worry about, or the biggest thing that factors into all this, is what you may have heard of, neutralizing antibodies. So are there neutralizing antibodies that are being formed, and how robust they are? And also, the key here is, how long do these neutralizing antibodies last? And when I say neutralizing antibodies, these are these antibodies that are made in your body after an infection that can then essentially decorate the virus if you get a reinfection, and will prevent it from binding to its receptors and gaining access to the cells in your lungs where this virus infects. So this is very early. There's a study that just came out, and a lot of these studies, again, I will put a caveat to these, are not peer-reviewed yet. And so you have to take that with a grain of salt. But early indication, at least with the SARS-CoV-2, is that there is a robust antibody production, and that probably depends on how strong the infection was. So in elderly, where the infection seems to be severe, you actually have a lot more antibodies that are being recovered. In milder symptoms, people who are asymptomatic, there's a thought that maybe antibody production is actually low because the infection never really proceeds to a point where your, you know, the robust immune system that's needed to produce the antibodies never really gets going because you're asymptomatic. So now the point is, how long will these antibodies last? So how do we know this? We have to think about what we know about what happened with SARS-1 and MERS, which were the first two coronavirus outbreaks. But the data there is that with SARS-1 and MERS, they were able to find antibodies that were protective, that considered protective, up to a year or two. Now, here, what we have to do is essentially follow all these patients and see how long these antibodies last. So considering that there are antibodies, I think people will most likely be protected either completely or at least partially for hopefully at least a year or two if this follows what happens with SARS-1 and MERS.
Joel, when you talk to people who are in the process of recovering or have recovered from COVID, was there variance in terms of how they're feeling now based on how sick they were? I'm thinking about this idea that Kamal said, which is, you know, maybe antibody protection might vary on kind of the strength and vehemence of their infection.
Well, that's a fascinating point that I had not heard before. And Dr. Khanna, thanks for sharing that. And I have also seen one study out of the 2003 SARS outbreak that it showed the antibodies were steady for about 2 years, and then the third year they declined. Mm-hmm. And this is a different virus, but it's related. So you could imagine it might be similar. I've heard it speculated that kind of like that eventually this coronavirus will be more like a cold over the course of many years as it circulates through the human species. But anyway, yeah, some people still have a little hacking cough. They still feel tired. They still feel beat up by it. And others are totally fine. It just varies from person to person. And why it varies, I mean, there's another, you know, million-dollar question. And why is it that some people get hammered, so it kills some people, and others just shrug it off? We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Kamal, I guess I'd like to sort of ask you this question of whether plasma therapy, which I know many hospitals are working on, is something that could be used to treat patients as we go forward.
Yeah, I think it's very early, but there's been some papers that have come out with just very small patient samples. Like there was a study with just 5 patients, and it helped almost all of them. I mean, right now they're only trying this with severely ill patients, and that's how it should be. So plasma therapy has worked in the past. I think one thing that I would add when we were talking about the antibody issue, you may have heard of this this concept called immune enhancement. Sometimes what happens is that the antibody can actually cause damage because it can actually redirect the virus into cells that it normally doesn't infect. And that has been reported with some of the other SARS virus, the SARS-1 or MERS, actually. So those are some of the things that a lot of people are considering when they're doing the plasma therapy, because it's early in the stage, but it is something very promising.
Kamal Khanna is an immunologist and associate professor in the Department of Microbiology at the NYU Langone Medical School. And Joel Achenbach is a science writer for The Washington Post. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.